Well, friends, today on this Baptism Sunday, we are ending a 12-week journey. We've been in this series called Freedom, the Joy of a Heart Set Free by Jesus. And what a great way to end our 12-week series on Baptism Sunday. To see each of these disciples of Jesus go down into the water in total surrender. This is a picture of what we've been seeking to do this fall. To surrender, to fully surrender and let go, to be cleansed by Jesus, renewed by Jesus, and given purpose again as we walk in this life of freedom. And I want us to listen to one last time to the beautiful mission statement of Jesus, who was very clear that he came to bring freedom. He takes the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he reads his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For 12 weeks, we've been inviting Jesus to do this very thing, to come bring his freedom into our lives. And the key to this series has been to be in a small group of three or four people who are together finding freedom in vulnerability, openness, honesty. And so I hope that that's been a joy to you as you've been in these small groups. And I want to let you know that the freedom journey can continue. We are starting Freedom Session in January. And I'll show a slide here that has some of that information if you're interested in continuing the journey and going deeper. But back on September 7th, the Sunday we kicked off this series, I told you the story of when I was 23 years old and I was invited as a guest to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. At the time, I was living at home in Oklahoma, and an older gentleman from church in his 60s at the time invited me to come experience the vulnerability, the honesty, and the community of AA. I saw a community that night, and ever since then, when I've been invited, that was living in the light. That night, and other nights since then, I have thought to myself, I wish church was more like that. Why can't we be as honest, vulnerable, open, and loving like that? I wish we were. But North Langley, after this whole fall together, and the stories that I'm hearing, I think it's happening in us. I believe that this fall, we have started to look different. Together, we've been honest. Together, we've clung to God, surrendered our will. We've allowed God to search us. We've stepped into the light to confess what we've done wrong. We've humbly asked God to remove our defects of character. We've tried to apologize and make amends with those we've hurt. We've promptly admitted our mistakes. We've grown in dependence on God in prayer. It's happening. We're doing it. And together, we are practicing this humility that I believe will be an example to many in our city, that this place, that this church, is a hospital for sinners, not a cruise ship for the saints, wearing masks, not being open with one another. That's not what we want. We want this to be a hospital, a place where Jesus brings his healing among us. And I feel like it's happening. And I'm so grateful to each one of you who stepped out with a lot of courage to go on this journey of freedom. So today, we end this series with step 12. Step 12, sharing the good news. Step 12 is this. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others who are struggling and to practice these principles in all our affairs. What does this mean? Well, in this final step, we look outward. We look towards others. We seek to make a difference in other people's lives. We've come to realize that a life only about myself, focusing on myself, it's not a healthy life. A life of freedom is about loving others, helping others in their time of need. And the paradox is that the more that we give love, help, care, the more we receive the freedom of Jesus. See, this life of love and serving others is the heartbeat of Jesus. Listen to Jesus. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What did Jesus come to do? To give his life away, to serve, to care. Life is all about a self-giving love that we share with others. St. Thomas Aquinas says it this way, to love is to will the good of the other. That's love. It's not a life of self-focus, but it's a life lived for the good of the other. We see this in Jesus. This is step 12. When I was thinking about step 12, I was thinking about the Lord of the Rings, of course, as you do. And step 12, I think, is embodied in the person of Samwise Gamgee, one of my favorite characters in the Lord of the Rings stories. And in the final film, this phrase is not in the books, but in the film, The Return of the King, Sam and Frodo are near the end. The ring, some of you know that Frodo carries this ring and it's become heavy, it's oppressive to him. It's a burden that's almost killing Frodo. And Samwise is such a servant, such a friend to Frodo. Sam knows that he cannot carry the ring. That's Frodo's job. Sam can't do that. Frodo has to do it. But on the slopes of the volcano Mount Doom, when Frodo is too weak to go on, Sam, though exhausted himself, literally carries Frodo up the mountain, a perfect image of self-sacrificial friendship. And then he says these words to Frodo, which I think encapsulate step 12. Come, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. What a perfect image of step 12. We cannot carry the burden that our friend has. We cannot carry the actual addiction they have, or the habit that's got them stuck, or the sin. Many of us in the room have tried. We've tried. We've tried to fix our loved ones, but it doesn't work because we cannot carry that specific burden. But what we can do is we can carry our loved ones. We can show up to love, to support, to cheer on, to be present to them, to listen well, and to get on our knees and pray hard for them. See, we cannot carry it, the habit, the addiction, but we, along with others in a wider community, we can carry them. I love the image in Jesus' life of these four friends. These four friends have a friend who's sick. And what do these four friends do? Well, they cut a hole in a roof and they lower their friend down right in front of Jesus. Jesus is in a crowded home. And there's a long queue. Can you imagine how frustrated you'd be if you were in this long queue of people waiting to be healed? And these people dig a hole, remove the roof, and drop their friend right in front of Jesus. First in line. Boom. Jesus. Well, I think this is an image of prayer, right? This is what we do in prayer. We go, hey, we're jumping the queue here. We're bringing our friend right before you, Jesus, and laying our friend at your feet. And we can do this because we get it. We've been there too. We've been sick with the same habit. We've been unwell with the same addiction. We've been stuck in ways that we are not proud of. And we have begun to taste the freedom of Jesus. And we can have the greatest empathy for someone who's in the exact same place. In the words of Henri Nouwen, we become wounded healers. Nouwen argued that the place of our deepest wound can be the place where we, in the name of Jesus, offer the world the greatest healing. The place of your wound is where you can be a healing to others. Isn't that the way God works? We become wounded healers. When I experience freedom from addiction, or the habit, or the bitterness, or the lack of forgiveness, when I experience that place of powerlessness, and in that place, when I experience the tenderness of Jesus, beginning to sense the healing of Jesus, well, it's that wound as it's healed where I can then turn and with great empathy walk with someone else who's lived the exact same thing. I now can offer someone else hope. I can turn my gaze that's all about me, me-centered, I can turn it towards others and say, I've been there too, and I'm praying for you, and I'm going to walk with you. Because we've been there, we've suffered, we've been in the wilderness, we've experienced a great powerlessness, and now we're starting to taste freedom. Could you and I take this gift of freedom and gift it to others? Can you and I commit to be wounded healers? Not to walk around with a mask as though we are perfect, right? Church circles can often be that way. But we walk around going, no, I'll show you the fact. I'm honest about, you heard the stories today. What are these seven people doing? They're honest about their wounds, about where they've been. Why? Why did they do this today? So that you would be blessed. So that you would hear that the dead end is not a dead end. That God can still offer you hope and freedom. Listen, you know, throughout the series, the last 12 weeks, I've tried to be open about my journey with addiction. I've tried to be open during this series so that I can be a wounded healer and help others who've been stuck in the same addiction. I don't share this story of my life because it's something that I love to do. I share it with the great hope that Jesus would use me as a wounded healer and give hope to others who find themselves in the same place. And God can do that in your life. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who, check this out, comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see how it works? That's the beauty of the kingdom of God. We comfort others for we have been comforted by God. Those who have experienced the addiction know firsthand what addiction is like and can have the greatest empathy for other addicts. Those who have felt stuck can have the deepest compassion for others who themselves are in a stuck place. Jesus is calling us not to keep the freedom to ourselves, but to reach out and be part of the healing journey in someone else's life. So I want to ask, how can you reach out and help someone who needs freedom? How are you going to do it? You know, every ad, every marketing campaign is telling you and I that our life is about it's about ourself. It's about what you need, what you want, right? It's just we're bombarded with it all day long. And yet in the kingdom, the irony is that the more we then turn to love others and give our life away, the more we experience a freedom ourselves. The crazy thing is the more we give and the more we help, the more we receive and are helped by God. It's beautiful the way it works. This has happened in my own life. I've caught this incredible joy of being able to walk in freedom because God has allowed me by his grace to be part of the freedom journey in many men's lives. It's not only good for the other person in God's kindness, it's good for us. We grow in our personal freedom as we help others. The best place for us to find freedom is in serving others. Why? Because my mind then is not on myself, right? I'm spending my day thinking and praying of others. It's so healthy. And this is the upside down paradox of the way God works. The more we hold on, the less we have. The more we give our life away, the more we have. And the message we carry of the powerful love and freedom and life of God is in fragile containers. The Bible calls us jars of clay. We're fragile, right? And the message of freedom is carried in vulnerability. God said to the Apostle Paul, who was struggling with an area of weakness, he said this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What? How does that work? My power is made perfect in weakness? Well, actually, we know how that works. When we see someone who says, listen, I've got this wound. I walked through this addiction. I was stuck. I had this habit. But in my weakness, I offered it to God. And in his power, he gave me freedom through community, through following Jesus. It's that weakness. We offer God our weakness. And when we feel weak and unsure and timid, but we've started to taste God's freedom, it's like God's like, yes, I'm coming in my power. And I'm going to transform you, and I'm going to transform others. Watch my power at work. I love it when my kids come to me in weakness, says God. Because it's at that moment that I can show my power in beautiful ways. His power is made perfect in weakness, in vulnerability, and in surrender. Friends, in conclusion, as we wrap up our 12-week journey, may God bless you as you now reach out to love someone and walk with them on the road to freedom. The life we are called to now is the life of love. Leave this place and love one another. Offer your story and become a wounded healer. Walk with someone through pain and suffering and be a faithful friend or sponsor or mentor to someone who needs freedom. As Sam Gamgee says, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And when we do this, as the big book says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. There is joy as we love others. So as we end our time, can we stand together? We are going to worship the Lord. And I want to let you know, our prayer team is going to be available for several things today. First of all, for courage and strength. For you, you know there's someone you want to reach out to. You know there's someone you want to pray for. Would you bring that name or that person or that story? Maybe you're not allowed to mention the name, but that story to our prayer team. Our prayer team would love to join you in praying for this person that needs healing. Secondly, if you yourself find yourself in a dry place, you've heard these stories today of people encountering Jesus. You've heard about the purpose you can have in life to be a blessing to someone else, and you're just going, I don't feel that. I would love to know that God loves me and to be filled with his love again. Would you come forward and receive prayer? We also have a prayer room in the back. Our team would love to pray for you. And as we end, I want to say this. North Langley, you've died to your old life. You've been baptized. Your life now belongs to Jesus. He's called you now into a life of service and love. Remember, Jesus loves to use wounded healers for his mission. So what do we do as we end? We praise the God who used Jacob in his limping, Moses with his stuttering, David despite his sinning, Elijah in his fear, Ruth as an immigrant, and Esther in her powerless position. We praise the God who used Peter despite his rejection, Mary in her youth, humility, vulnerability, and poverty, Thomas in his doubting, and Paul with a thorn in his side. God seems to love using wounded healers for his mission. And that's why he delights using you and I for his mission to love the world. So we've received him, North Langley, so let's give. We've received the love of God, so let's love. And in the words of John, the beloved disciple, we love because he first loved us. And Jesus, we give this time of worship to you. Come and move, Holy Spirit. Fill my friends with a fresh outpouring of your love. Remind my friends, every human in this room, remind them that they have a purpose. There's a purpose for their existence, for their life. And I pray that you would change them, change us, fill us with your life and love, that we would be a blessing in our day, in this generation, at this moment. We love you. Amen.